Kof Dalad Nissan, Monday the 13th of April, Rabbi David Tugendhat, Kashrus Controversies.
Kashrus Controversies.
Always covered to come back and share some ideas on Torah Way. And of course, a big yeshkeach to Reb Dudi for asking me, for inviting me back. For all the amazing work he does, all the other askonim here in Torah Way. Before we speak through some kashrus controversies, I'd just like to share with you ha'ora on the beginning of the parasha. We have the tremendous tragedy of Nadav and Avihu at the beginning of this week's parasha. So, Nadav and Avihu, the Torah tells us they brought an Eish Zorah, this strange fire, Ashalutu Vesi, that they were not commanded to bring, and they were Makriv Ketores, Lifnai V'Lifnim. And because of that, we were told that an Eish came and they were killed instantaneously. And Chazal tell us that actually the various Medroshim, they give us various other reasons why it could be that Nadav and Avihu were killed. And Rashi brings down one Medrash that they were Shsuyayin. They had had a bit too much to drink. They'd had a Lachayim beforehand, and they'd gone in, and they'd done the Avodah. That doesn't sound too good. Another Mahalach is that they said that they didn't want to get married, and they didn't want to be Mekayim certain mitzvahs, and so that's the reason that they were killed over here. Another Mahalach is that they were Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabom, that in front of Meisher Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, they issued the ruling, and a person's not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to give a ruling if the posik is there. Another Mahalach says, Mosai Yomusu, when are these two Zekanim going to die and will be able to lead the nation? Now, here, these seem to be serious criticisms against Nadav and Avihu. And how could it be that yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Bekroi vayekodesh," that these are the holiest people, and he tells Aaron HaKohen that they were even greater than us. Now, 1 minute, I don't understand. First question is, the Torah tells us they brought an Eish Zorah. So why do we have to have these other explanations? And the second question is, you gave me so many explanations to explain why it is that they've died. It sounds like these people had serious, serious character flaws, and yet we're being told by Krovei HaKodesh in a certain way they're greater than Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. How could that be? Which way is it? Were they indeed so great, or did they have these great flaws? So the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, I've seen it mainly in the Chassidish Sfarim, I think there was a Sfas Emes about it, but it's brought down in many of the Sfarim that there was a Tosefes Avo. We know we're supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dechilu Ruchimu, we're supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Avo and with the Yiro. And we're supposed to try and achieve this balance in our Avedas Hashem. There's supposed to be a tremendous drive to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an Avo Azo, to try and use our Koichas to serve Hashem. Yet on the other hand, that's supposed to be mitigated and tempered with the fear that we don't want to do things wrong, we don't want to take a step out of place, a tremendous awe that we have in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we see in the Avodah of Nadav and Avihu, who brought this Eish Zorah, who brought this Ketores without asking Moshe and Aaron, is that they had this Ava Azo. They had this tremendous Tosefes of Ava, a great love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this love motivated them to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it wasn't tempered with the appropriate amount of Yirah. And this is this Eish Zorah, this foreign fire, this Eish, this Islavus, this Ava that they had. And Shesuya Yayin, the idea of Shesuya Yayin, it doesn't just mean that the two of them were alcoholics and they just wanted to have Chas V'Sholom, Rachmon al-Islam, they needed to have... They probably didn't have Glenfiddich in those days. Irish Suya Yayin had some fine wines over here. Was it sweet wine? Was it dry? They loved wine so much? No. The idea of the wine is that they wanted to be able to serve Hashem with an even greater Avo. They wanted to take away those, when a person is intimidated and a person feels maybe a little bit cold. They wanted to experience this great Avor, to ignite this great Avor. And the Shui Yain would help them that they shouldn't feel this fear at all, because they wanted to experience this great Avor, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with unshackled with the chains of normality, and to feel this great Avor. They were unmarried, they had the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they had this great Avor. They were Meira Halacha B'fnei Rabbam. They decided to issue a ruling, and they couldn't wait for Moshe and Aaron to die. What does this mean? It doesn't mean that they were people who were just, you know, they didn't like Moshe and Aaron, they wanted them to die. It's they had this tremendous Avor to serve Hashem. And it wasn't tempered with the Yirah. And they just wanted to be at that stage in their Avodah where they would be the ones who would be able to go Lifnei V'Lifnim and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu so closely. And I think that possibly this is alluded to in their names. The Gemara tells us in the Sefer Brachos, Shmo Gorim, that a person's name is very much connected to their essence and to their personality. To the extent that we know that when parents give a name to their children, so the name is really it's not just you're calling a puppy Fido, yeah, or a cat Moggy, but this is really their essence, and this is their nature, and the parents get a bechina of Ruach HaKodesh to be able to work out what is the appropriate name. And Shmo Gorim, a person's name, as we go through Chazal, the names are very indicative of the person's essence. Nodov is Miloshim Nodova. What does Nodova mean? Nodova means a donation or a gift. Now, if I have to give something, it's not called a Nodova, it's called a payment. And a Nodova is where I desire of my own accord that I want to give this gift. And I want to do something which is an act of generosity to you. So Nodov, encoded in his name, is this Tosefes Avo. He had this Avo, this love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wanted to give this gift. Avihu. Avihu means, he is my father. We know that we're supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with an awareness of Avinu Malkeinu. What does Avinu Malkeinu mean? He is my father and he is my king. A father is a relationship of Avo. A king is a relationship of Yiro. And we're supposed to have both of these appreciations. Avihu means, he is my father. I have an awareness that I'm supposed to love him, but this is untempered, and this is allowed to run free, and it doesn't have the requisite amount of Yira. So you see, it's encoded in their names. Now, of course, that could have been used for great things, to initiate things that were within the parameters of the appropriate way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But instead, these went beyond those parameters. Possibly we could say that the tikkun for this is encoded in the names of the people who were asked to take them out. Their cousins, Mishael and El Tzofon, were asked to take them out. So, El Tzofon, what does El Tzofon mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden. This is an awareness of Yira. That he's not my best mate, capital He, is not my best friend, that I can just be that I can be so close with, and I can act in such an irreverent way. El Tzofon, he's hidden. There are boundaries beyond which I'm not supposed to go. I'm supposed to know my place. I'm supposed to serve Hashem with Yira. Mishael, who asked you? Mishael, right? Mishael and El Tzofon were the two. Mishael, who asked you? Who asked you to do what you're doing? You're not supposed to be doing what you're doing. Mishael, who asked you? No. You're supposed to stay and remember your parameters. And it could be that this was the tikkun over here, and the limud, the hayra, that we're supposed to get over here, to have this balance between this avo and this yira. Now, bearing this in mind, if we move on to the next major topic in this week's parasha, we have the simone taro when it comes to animals. And I'd like to discuss a little bit ba'alocha, and then a little bit ba'agoda, of the simone taro, and we'll see it that there's actually, we'll start off with one connection between the death of Nodov and Avihu and the simone taro, but we'll see later, but as Hashem, hopefully we'll have a chance when we get to the end, that another connection. What is the connection between these two topics? So there's a sforno in Vayikru Yud Aleph, and he says, Hine achar shehis not lu Yisrael es ed yom haruchni shekonu b'matan teiro, asher bohu yuruim lishreis shchino, and I built him toy, that at the time of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael, they were given Shnei Kesorim, and they were given these metaphorical adornments, and they had the possibility of having HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Mashri His Shechina upon them. However, unfortunately, they sinned. Mo'as Sokhel Yisparach, Achar Kach, Mehishreis Eid Shechinoso B'neihem Klal, He said, I'm not going to come amongst you because your behavior is not appropriate for me to do so. Moshe Rabbeinu was able, al yidei his tefillah, to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please be mashrei shchinah, even if you won't do it directly, but please do it through emtsoim. Emtsoim means, and the means would be the mishkan and the kelim of the mishkan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mashrei shchinah in the greatest way in this zone of the mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash. And through this, they'll be able again to appreciate the Kveit Hashem. And they'll be able to be zeicher to this. And and as well as that, in order to make them fit to be able to again experience the greatest degree of Hashras HaShchina that they can have, even though we do not live in the Olam HaTikun and we still need to have these Emtsoim, Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that Klal Yisrael also needs rectifying and they need to now be very, very careful what it is exactly they're going to be eating. This is tikkun hamazonos v'atzeilato, that al yedei them being careful and only eating certain things, then their neshama and their guf will be fitting to be able to experience the greatest degree of hashras hashchina that they can have until the absolute tikkun la'osid lavoy. So really, these two things are connected: the Beis HaMikdash and the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, which happened at this week's parasha, and as well as that, the concept of eating kosher that we keep in order to make sure that we can have a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how is it that this works? So the Ramah says in Orach Chaim Siman Vov Sif Aleph that when we say Reife Kol Boso Rumafli La'asos, when we say this bracha, we use this word mafli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a pella. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a wonder. And what is exactly this wonder over here? So the wonder is mafli la'asos b'mashe shomer ruach ha'odom b'kirboy. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps our ruach inside of us, v'kesha dovar ruchni b'dovar gashmi, he connects the spiritual to the physical. And these two things are complete opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Ruchnius is something that has absolutely no physicality, and normally a gashmiastika thing seems to be devoid of any life, and yet a Kodesh Baruch Hu combines these two things in a Baal Chai. V'akoyla al yidei shureyfe chol bosor, ki os ha'odom b'kaf habrius, when a person is healthy, and they're able to exist, and then the neshama is able to be guarded inside of them. So when it says mafli, when it says there's a pella, what's the pella? The pella is that the spiritual and the physical are able to coexist. And the Mishnah Berurah here brings the Mogen Avraham, and the Mogen Avraham brings the Arizal, who says in his Kavonos, that the neshama benefits from the ruchnias of the machal, and the body benefits from the physicality of the machal. So every machal, whatever machal it is, there's spirituality in there and there's physicality in there. You take a bowl of chulant, so there's some ruchnius inside that chulant and there's some kashmius inside that chulant. And the ruchnius aspect is mozoin for the neshoma, and the gashmistika aspect is mozoin for the guf. And the types of food which we're allowed to eat are types of food which have this spiritual component inside of them that is able to be mozen the neshama. And if a person has food which is not kosher, so then it is not able to be mozen the neshama. And Rav Chaim Vital says that we have inside of us, we have, as well as our physical limbs and organs, we have spiritual limbs and organs. And if a person is not eating kosher food, then the ruchniyistika element, then the elements of their neshama, which correspond to those parts of the guf, so then they are not able to function in the way that they're supposed to function. So this is just a little bit about how kashrus works. Now there are a number of controversies. Moving on to a halachic aspect of this year, a number of serious controversies when it comes to kashrus. So there are we know that the Torah tells us in Vayikra Yud Aleph Gimel Kumah Freses Harson and Malo Geira Bebehem Asher Teichelu that our animals have to have split hooves and they have to chew the cuds. So there are very interesting machloiksin about certain animals, whether they're actually considered kosher or not. So there's an animal called a bison. And a bison, they are, I believe, indigenous to North America, yeah? And a bison is a bovine, it's similar to a cow, but it's slightly different to a cow. So the big question is whether a bison is kosher or not. And there are certain kashrus authorities that say bison is kosher, and there are others that say that it's not. And I don't understand. If you go over to a bison and you check it out, you'll see that it has split hooves and it chews the cud. So what should be the problem? What should be the problem? It clearly has these simonim. So it boils down to a machlekes prima godim and chazan ish in the way that we interpret a shach. You see, the shach says in Yoredeya Simon Pei, Ayin Pirishel Dvorim Elo Beis Yosef Alvisha Ein Lanu Ato Elomashe Kibalnu B'Mesayres Ukud Lekamon Gabi Simoni Ha'if Kotzarati. He says as follows. He says that when it comes to animals, it's not good enough to be able to see that they have these two simonim, that they have split hooves and chew the cuds. You have to have a mesorah in these things, just like we find concerning chickens, concerning oif, concerning birds, where the Ramah says explicitly, v'yesh oimim she'en lismoich, you shouldn't rely on the various different signs that we have concerning a bird, that Chazal say, v'ein le'echol shum oif ela b'mesorah she'kiblu boi shu tohir, v'chein noigin v'ein l'shanois. The Ramah says when it comes to birds, you have to have a mesorah whether a bird is kosher or not. Now the Shach seems to say the same thing as that we say regarding birds, so too that applies to animals as well. And you cannot just look at and see whether it has split hooves and choose the cuds. And this is the way that the Chazon Ish understands the Shach. And this is the way the Chochmas Odom quotes the Shach. That any time you have an animal, you see an animal, you go to the zoo, Chol HaMoed, you go to the zoo, you see a giraffe. Yeah, you see a giraffe. A giraffe has split hooves and it chews the cud. So people think that the reason that we don't have giraffe burgers is because you don't know where you're supposed to shecht it. But actually that's not true. This is a shaykh's dream. You've got so much room to shecht it. You can shecht it on, it's very, very long, anywhere over there. Shaykh's dream, machaya. But practically, the reason why I'm not aware of any Yidden who have eaten giraffes is that legally, you're not allowed to eat giraffes, Rabbi Sai. Yeah, I'm sorry if this is going to be, I hope this doesn't upset anybody, you're not allowed legally to eat any giraffes. But we see this is an animal where we don't have a Masairah. We don't know any Sheikhet, who knew a Sheikhet, whether this is kosher or not. And the Chazon Ish and the Chochma Sodom, they say that this is the way you're supposed to interpret the Shach. You have to have a Masairah. If you want to go in to London Zoo in the middle of the night and you want to, you know, giraffe nap a giraffe over there, you still wouldn't be able to eat it. It'll still be completely to eat because you don't have a Masairah. However, the Prima Godim argues, and the Prima Godim says that when it comes to the birds, we need a simonim to see whether it's a doyres. We need to know whether it's a bird which is actually a bird which is a bird of prey that is going to be killing other birds. And because we're not entirely sure about these simonim, whether it's a deiris or not, so therefore we have to have a mesorah. But that doesn't apply when it comes to animals. You don't actually need a mesorah when it comes to animals. And when the Shach says you need a mesorah, the mesorah that the Shach is talking about is whether an animal is considered a behemoth or whether it's considered a chaya. Because there are various differences regarding what sort of fats a person is allowed to eat. Certain fats of a behemah are osa, whereas those same fats of a chaya are muta, and therefore the way the Prima Godim learns this shach is that you don't need to have a mesorah. And this machlokes between the Chazon Ish and the Prima Godim will really determine whether a bison is kosher, because with a bison we don't have a mesorah, yet we do see that it does chew the cud and it does have split hooves. So there are certain kashrus authorities that do give hechsherim to bison in America generally, but you don't really find it in Eretz Yisrael. And the Shevet Halevi in Chelek Yud in Kuf Yod Dalet, he says that that Lamaisa Eretz Yisrael is the Asra of the Chazon Ish. Eretz Yisrael is the place of the Chazon Ish, and so in Eretz Yisrael, they do not give a hechsha to bison. Masha Enkein, overseas they do. An identical question comes up regarding another animal called a zebu. I'm not sure if any of you have seen a zebu, but a zebu is another type of bovine, and it has Yeah, and it looks like a cow, but it has a hump like a camel on its back, and there's a big machlokes. There are certain mahadrin hashem in Eretz Yisrael that were allowing zibu, and the question reports Rabbi Yoshev, and he said that a person should be nizhar from eating zibu. The Menchas Osha in his Sefer Alatera on Parshas Shemini, he actually says that again, that really, the ruling of the Rav Eliyoshiv, he understood that that was really for people in Eretz Yisrael who go by the Chazon Ish. And he says that if people go by the Prima, the Rav Eliyoshiv himself says that people who go like the Prima Godim more than the Chazon Ish can be lenient in general on the Prima Godim versus the Chazon Ish. And therefore, the Menchas Osha seems to indicate that there is room to allow Zibu. Other issues regarding a kashrus. It says, kol asher ein lesnapir v'kaskeses, anything that doesn't have fins and scales is not allowed to be eaten. And we know that Chazal tell us in Masechta Nida, daf nun aleph amud beis, that any fish that has scales has fins. And this is brought, this is a halacha, which is brought, that if a person sees a fish that has scales, then you can be sure that it had fins, because any animal that has scales has fins. And this is what the Mishnah says in Nida Nun Aleph Omid Beis. Now, is that really being literal? Are we supposed to take this Gemara literally? Are we supposed to say that literally, certainly, if it has scales, it has fins? So this is actually a machlokes between the Krasioplasi versus the Taz, Prima Godim, and others. The Krasioplasi says that it's actually not an absolute rule. He says the Rover like this. But there are exceptions. This Krasioplasi is in Yeridea, Pei Gimel, Gimel. Now, almost all authorities argue with him, and the Taz over there, and the Prima Godim in Pei Gimel base, they all say, no, this is an absolute fact, and if it has scales, it has fins. And there are all different sorts of, there are a few kashas on this. There's a very, very interesting one. There was an animal which the Madonna Yom Tov mentions. Madonna Yom Tov, this is the Tosfos Yom Tov, Rav Yom Tov Lipman Hela, who died in 1654, and the Madonna Yom Tov is his Pirish on the Rosh. And he brings over there a very, very interesting case, and he says that there's a fish that was brought to him by Aaron Harofe, and he brought this fish called in Latin the Stincus Marinus, and the Stincus Marinus, it has scales and it doesn't have fins. And how could it be such a thing that you have this fish, it has scales and it doesn't have fins? And there was a big tumult, and the Madana Yom Tov speaks about it, and the Zayis Ranon on the Yalkut Shemini, which is the Morgan Avraham on the Yalkut Shemini, he also speaks about it. How could it be that such a thing exists? And there's a big discussion about it. Just mention the answer the Zayis Ranon gives. He says, why is it called Stincus Marinus? Stincus Marinus means fish. Stincus means it's toxic. It's actually an animal which is poisonous. It's a poisonous fish. And this principle of anything that has scales also has fins only applies, asher toichlu, it only applies to the animals that you're going to be eating. And since this one is anyway, nobody would want to eat such a thing. If they did, they'd only do it once. And gendikt. Yeah, so since this is an animal that nobody is going to be eating anyway, so therefore this is the exception to the rule. There's also a Darkei Tshuva. There's also a Darkei Tshuva about it. The Darkei Tshuva was the father of the Minchas Elazar, and he says that Lamaisa is really a type of lizard, and it's not really a fish, and it even has sort of little a part of it that come out that seem to really be not like scales at all, it's almost like feet. He says, Bekitza, it's not even a type of fish. There are, seem to have another one. There's a big shaila that came up in America regarding a certain type of chicken called the leghorn chicken. I don't know if you heard about the leghorn chicken, but many, many eggs in America come from the leghorn chicken. And there's a Mishnah in Chulin, Daf Nun Tes Omud Aleph, and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik says there's a way by looking at the feet of a chicken to see whether this is a chicken which is kosher. He says you put a string down, and if there are two of the toes on one side of the string and two on the other side of the string, then it's not kosher. But if it has three toes on one side and one toe on the other side, then it is kosher. And so this leghorn chicken, they've had loads of Talmidei Chachomim looking at the leghorn chicken, because some of the times it's azoy and some of the times it's azoy. And so the Shach says that if it in Yeridea Pei Beis Vov, that any bird that fails this test is not kosher, even if you do have a Masairah. So there's been a whole big tumult over there. And there was an article in the Hamodiyah Pashas Tetzaveh 11 years ago. And there was a whole discussion. They had they convened a Beis Din of 30 Rabbonim, the Beis Din Leinyonei Kashrus, this Achas Rabbonim Starkei and others. B'kitzur HaMaisa, at the moment, they say that it's still okay, and these leghorn chicken eggs, as far as I'm aware, that they are still okay. But a big discussion over there. Maybe just close with one nakuda that I saw, and I saw the same vort from Rav Shaul Alter of Ger, and also from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and they say azoy. They say, why is it that a fish has to have fins and scales? What's the inyan? Is there any hayra'ah? Is there any lesson? Is there any? We know that these things are really chukim, but can we see any tam regarding why it is that they have to have fins and scales? And really, they say azoy, that kaskeses nase lohogein al hadog shelo yinozek v'snape matarosei shal yoda yuchel hadog loshet b'mayim. So the kaskeses, the scales, they're really that which protect the fish. And the fins, they propel them forward. And the way that Lubavitcher Rebbe puts it, he says that in life, we have to have integrity. And we have to really protect the way that we act. We have to make sure we don't do anything wrong. But as well as that, we have to have drive, which is the fins, that take us forwards. And they allow us to actually accomplish things in life. So he says there are certain people, they just have fins. Yeah, but they just have fins, they have great ambition, and they have great drive, but they'll do things that are a bit dodgy on the way, and they don't have necessarily the highest morals, the highest virtues, and they'll do things that are nishpaseda. He said that's not acceptable, but if you start off with scales, and you're always trying to lead a life of integrity, and you're always trying to not do any aveiras, and to make sure you do the right thing, so then also you'll be able to develop the fins, and be able to move forward with a life of Avedas Hashem. Just to close, one final point, I saw Rav Schlesinger from Eretz Yisrael. He says a very similar thing applies to the Simone Tara when it comes to an animal as well. They have to have split hooves and chew the cards. Chewing the cards is a preoccupation with the past. Right? That you have to see what you've already got and preserve what you've already got and think about what you've already got, whereas the hooves are that which propel us forwards and they take us to new vistas in our Avedas Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should be able to take with us all of the Masorah of Aviseinu HaKadoshim, and we should be able to preserve the tremendous Matonis that we've been endowed with, and we should be able to be Mesif V'Holach and go weiter and achieve tremendous heights in our Avedas Hashem, and have Siyata Dishmaya and Bizeichot the Mashiach Zitain of Meher V'Meinu Amen.